Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Buenos dias. Welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show. Thank you for listening. Muchas enchiladas, everybody. The number is 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Sure enough, first thing this morning, I was looking at the ridiculous headline of the Catholics. What would be a good term for them? Nincompoop comes to mind. I'm trying to think.
Is this the pro-choice?
Yeah,
these
stooges, these tools. They're just tools, and they were shining a message on the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception, Washington D.C., while there was a March for Life vigil taking place inside. And pro-choice Catholics, you are not alone. So in other words, they're in the parking lot or on the sidewalk out front, and they're projecting onto the, in this case, there's kind of like vertical lettering that's going up the Carillion Tower, the bell tower. And then there's something that was shown above the main window. And sure enough, you know, a couple of people on Twitter, gee, I hope you guys are going to talk about this. Of course we're going to talk about that. It's the last gasp of those who see Roe versus Wade finally being overturned and they can't take it. So for all the people who were, you know, flustered about this and please, I hope you're going to talk about this. Yeah, we're leading off with it for that reason. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Well, I interrupted you. Should I even repost this? I mean, it makes me ill.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't bother.
Okay.
Why give them what they crave?
There you go.
It's a tiny, noisy little group of people, and they've been agitating for decades. They don't amount to much of anything. They're probably well-funded. I mean, I could go look up their 1099 forms on GuideStar and see what you know, what kind of monies they receive. But they're just tools, that's all. They're stooges. And they're doing the bidding of the people on the wrong side of history, who fiercely want to protect big abortion at all costs. And that's, of course, what the March for Life is. It's pushing back against that. And there's a lot of money involved in abortion, as we know. And don't get between somebody and his money. So whether it's a politician or it's you know, whoever the entity or individual may be, you can tell by which side of this line they line up on. And so these screamers on the left, these, you know, insignificant tools, that was their last hurrah, their swan song, I think, because they probably realize that if this is not the last time that we remember Roe versus Wade, you know, with bitterness, then it's coming soon. And it may well, this may well be the last anniversary of Roe versus Wade before it gets overturned by the Supreme Court. And so, yeah, Cyrus, I think that's what this amounts to. So for all the people who were flustered and buzzing, and I hope you'll talk about this, please be assured. We see over the horizon, Cyrus, don't we? We're seeing stuff over the horizon, and sometimes I get a chuckle out of it when somebody, like the day of the show, says, please talk about this, and it's been on our list of things to get to. And maybe they think that it's because they told us to do it.
Hey, that's all right.
You know, yeah, that's fine with me. Fine with me.
I like it when people send me, even if it's on my radar and I get a text or a message, I always appreciate
same here
heads ups.
That's why I give out your personal cell phone number whenever possible.
That explains.
Because I know
lot.
How much you like those tips.
I've been wondering how these people got my number. Fortunately, yeah. They're all very nice.
Well, that's good. All right. The Patrick Madrid Show has the best listeners. Really, that's extended to all of our shows. Relevant Radio has the best listeners, no doubt about that. And you know, one way, might as well mention this, one way that we can gauge just how wonderful all of you are is how many of you are participating in our hashtag Fast for Life promotion, which is, it's still time, there is still time, excuse me, for you to participate. The number is well into the thousands, and it's climbing steadily. For example, Frank from Nigeria, he posted at relevantradio.com/fast that he will be participating in Nigeria in solidarity with the unborn babies and with those who are going to be at the March for Life today. We'll have a little bit of reportage on that throughout the show today from our own Matt Beardsley, who's on the ground there. Frank in Nigeria says, I'll participate with my rosary. Vivian in Canada says, I will join in the best possible way I can due to being a senior with health issues. Prayers from Montreal, the home of St. Joseph's Oratory, one of Father Rocky's favorite places. We have a message here at relevantradio.com/fast from Jose in Brazil, who says, I will pray a memorare every hour, which is awesome. I have a note here, Cyrus, just to show how wonderful the Relevant Radio listeners are. Andrew from Columbus, Ohio, he says, I'm a seminarian at the Pontifical College Josephinum. A number of the seminarians are unable to attend the march due to COVID restrictions. We will be in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament throughout the day, offering the rosary, liturgy of the hours, and personal prayers for the intention of life. Thank you, Andrew. And Godspeed in your vocation to the Holy Priesthood. These are all examples, Cyrus, of people who have gone to relevantradio.com/fast, and they've plugged in what they are going to do and are doing as part of this solidarity movement. And I think it's beautiful. And, you know, they're also receiving, and I know you got your copy too, I've got mine, but they're receiving that the free ebook that is sent immediately when you go to relevantradio.com/fast and you sign up there. And really, by signing up, all you're simply doing is telling the world that you're in solidarity with the unborn babies. And we send you a free ebook on how you can respond to typical thought-stopping slogans and arguments that are raised by those who are defending abortion, and to do so in a loving and charitable way. We don't want to stomp on anybody. The goal is not to win an argument, even though you can. That's not the goal. The goal is to win a heart and to help somebody look beyond maybe how they've been conditioned by the screamers on the left. So that's available as well. It still is throughout the day today. You can participate once again by going to relevantradio.com/fast. So Cyrus, I'm not going to ask you what you're doing, but I know from just conversation that it's really impressive what our listeners are doing in regard to responding to this movement that is going on about being in solidarity with them. And maybe they can't get to the march. They can't walk in the cold. It's very cold in Washington, D.C. this morning. Very cold. So I admire the people who are braving the elements to go and witness to life. But not everybody can do that. And so they're participating at home. And it is impressive, wouldn't you say, Cyrus?
I love it. I Relevant Radio has been doing this for years. And I'm always, it's easy to be proud of where you work. And people do participate through Relevant Radio. So it's a way to virtually be at the march and to feel that passion and be a part of this big movement. And hopefully this is the last one.
Let's hope. Yeah, let's hope. Let me share with you, Cyrus, how NPR, which is, you know, very left of center, and you can probably pick up on that in the way they're reporting it, but this is an NPR report about the March for Life, this anniversary of Roe versus Wade. Each year in late January, activists, they won't deign to call them, you know, concerned citizens or Americans or pro-life, or they won't, we're activists, they say. Activists from around the country who want abortion to be illegal come to Washington, D.C. to march, often embracingly cold temperatures, to the steps of the U.S. Supreme Court. Organizers of this year's March for Life hope it will be the final year before the court reverses itself and overturns decades of precedent on abortion rights. Kristen Wagoner, who is identified as an activist in the NPR article, says, this could be the decision of a generation. My hope is that the United States Supreme Court has the courage to do what it ought. Wagoner is general counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom, a legal advocacy group opposed to abortion rights. You notice they can't quite loosen their grip on the notion that somehow somebody somewhere has a right to wantonly take the life of an innocent human being, which is, of course, what abortion is. And they insist on referring to that as a right. Because, yeah, it was enshrined in this country's laws constitutionally, not you know, by amending the Constitution rather, but by the Supreme Court decision. And so in this kooky clown world in which we live now, there are people, NPR being one of them, who believe that you do actually have a right to take the life of an innocent person. So they cling to that. And chances are they're going to cling to it no matter what happens with the Supreme Court. But they say that the Alliance Defending Freedom, a legal advocacy group opposed to abortion rights, is working closely with Mississippi's Attorney General to help defend a state law banning most abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. If the Supreme Court upholds the law, almost 50 years of precedent would be upended. Yes! Didn't Kip say that also on Napoleon Dynamite? But he said it without such gusto. I would love, I mean, that's putting it lightly, it's going to be a great day to be alive in these United States to witness the upending, as NPR puts it, of 50 years of precedent. Kind of like the upending of the hundreds of years of precedent of slavery in this country. And heinous Supreme Court decisions like the Dred Scott decision. Dred spelled D-R-E-D, by the way. That was a heinous decision. That was the law of the land. And it reinforced the heinousness of slavery, which, of course, is the personification of racism. And the Supreme Court was wrong, and the abolitionists were right. And sadly, it took a civil war and, you know, countless lives lost and ruined in order to get to the point where we had some kind of legal framework where we could finally outlaw slavery and begin the long and bloody and terrible process of trying to arrive at equality for black people in this country. We're still not there yet. So, yeah, NPR, I'm all about that. And I will be out there in the streets cheering the day that the Supreme Court, may it please God to happen this year, overturns Roe versus Wade.
Bye-bye.
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 That's right. And don't let the door, you know what. Nationwide polls, they remind us, suggest a majority of Americans support abortion rights, but years of activism. And by the way, Cyrus, I know you learned this in school. Nationwide polls in the decades leading up to the Civil War would have shown that the majority of Americans supported slaveholder rights. You know, the right to own black people as possessions, like furniture or horses. And that was supported by the majority of Americans. The abolitionists were in the minority. The abolitionists were shouted down. The abolitionists were called names. The abolitionists were looked down upon with disdain by the power elites in the United States. They were the noisy minority. They were the ones singing, "We shall overcome," in solidarity with all of those who were in slavery who were singing, "We shall overcome." And they did. So NPR, who cares? Who gives a flying leap whether or not the majority of Americans support abortion, quote unquote, rights? It's irrelevant. Abortion is still wrong. But they say years of activism by abortion rights opponents at all levels of government have brought Roe versus Wade and related precedents closer than ever to being reversed. The activism has culminated with a strong conservative Supreme Court majority who have promised, three out of the nine justices who were chosen by the last president, whose name is Donald Trump. People get really twitchy when you start mentioning Donald Trump's name on both sides of the divide. He named three Supreme Court justices. You all know that. And he promised to choose judges who would overturn Roe. Wagoner says, she's the activist aforementioned, there have been generations of people who have been marching year after year, who have been tirelessly laboring and relentlessly praying for the day when every human life is protected. The idea that we will make the most significant stride toward that in law is, it's incredibly inspiring, it's exciting. Absolutely. So if you could kindly post this article, Cyrus, because I think people would be interested. I mean, yes, of course, it has to do with NPR's left-wing reportage of this, but, you know, it's instructive. Because, you know, it'll, eventually, we may not live to see this day, Cyrus, but eventually future generations will look back at the people in 2022, in 2020, and, you know, 2000, and 1990, and going all the way back to Roe. They're going to look back at some point and scratch their heads, just like we do now. We look back in horror at the stupidity and the pig-headed, beady-eyed, you know, dig-your-heels-in obstinacy defending slavery among a vast majority of people in this country less than 200 years ago. And we look back on them and say, what was wrong with you? You know, what were you thinking? How could you possibly do that? Why would you do that? You know, you want to give somebody the V8 slap. You know the V8 slap, right, Cyrus? I could have had a V8. You smack your forehead.
Yeah, people walking sideways.
Little smack. I'm not suggesting that I would ever want to give somebody a V8 slap on the forehead. I mean, you might want to do that. I'm a pacifist.
I might.
But, I mean, obviously, I'm a nonviolent guy. But there are moments when I have a feeling, you know, when the time comes, people are going to be saying, what on earth were these people thinking to destroy innocent human life this way and to celebrate it? And, you know, back when he was governor of the state of New York, the now disgraced had to resign from office because of his misdeeds, Andrew Cuomo, he lit up the New York skyline, New York City skyline in pink. I guess they didn't have red available that evening, but in pink as a paean to abortion, to celebrate the glories of abortion. That's how bad it is in some cases.
That's disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Did I mention that he's out of office in disgrace now?
Yeah, with a smile.
I can't sometimes help it. I just, you know? What's the old saying? Couldn't have happened to a more deserving guy? Something like
something
that.
Something like that.
Yeah. Something like that. So, yeah. So let's catch our breath. When we come back, I want you to hear a little bit more about that freakout session on the Dr. Phil show when Matt Walsh from the Daily Wire appeared. And he just basically spoke the truth to... There were two transgender guests, one a woman presenting herself as a man and one a man presenting himself as a woman. And you have to see the video to really understand the full context of it. And Matt Walsh, who is a Catholic, by the way, good guy. I like him. And he spoke the truth to the popular mania right now with regard to gender ideology. And people are just coming unglued. You thought the Chappelle thing was bad, Cyrus. It's magnitude, orders of magnitude worse than that in terms of the freak out that's going on. I've got some juicy quotes from some on the left about this. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe we've got a little audio from that as well. Is that right?
Yeah, we do. This is really good.
From the Dr. Phil show. Makes me wonder, like, is Dr. Phil secretly high-fiving everybody in sight because he's so glad that he did this and now suddenly his show is getting some kind of attention? Or is he being beaten down by all the incomings from the LGBTQ people who are just trashing him?
They are going after him like rabid dogs.
Yeah.
Right now.
That's mean, Cyrus.
Yeah. Oh, well, they're having...
That's mean.
The transgenders that were on there are having nightmares about their experience.
Well, that's true.
So, you'll
we'll
talk
share
more
a little
about
bit
that.
Of that.
Good.
We'll talk a little bit about that, and it's worth knowing about. And by all means, we will get a link to the video so you can see it for yourself. So we talk about that, plus your phone calls. The number to dial 888-914-9149. This is the Patrick Madrid Show. Steady as she goes, free range, organic. Everybody is welcome here. 888-914-9149. I'll be right back.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
I see what you're doing here.
Ah, wink, wink.
Yeah. March for Life, people are walking.
Oh, yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. Well, let's see what else I can come up with. for the rest of the show.
You are subtle.
I'm very subtle. Yeah, I'm known for
You're as subtle as a 2x4 in the face, right?
That's right.
Oh, my. Well, yeah, today's the March for Life. I know that Matt Beardsley on staff here at Relevant Radio, who is there, will be calling in. I don't know when he's going to be calling in.
He is literally on his way there right now. So he reported from the hotel earlier today, and he just wrapped up with morning air right before we came on.
Okay.
So if you missed anything after our show, go back and re-listen to morning air from the podcast, from the archive on the website. And
tell people how they could get that, Cyrus.
Go to relevantradio.com, and you can't miss it. There's right. Banners everywhere.
Front and center. Yeah, shout out to the Morning Air crew. Thank you for all that they do. So, yeah, let's talk about Dr. Phil and Matt Walsh and the general freakout. That's how it was described by Amanda Prestigiacomo in an article that she wrote for the Daily Wire. Walsh appearing on Dr. Phil to discuss radical gender theory. So I want to share a little bit of that. I'm going to have to bleep out some of the words because they're naughty. But also just kind of just to dissect what happened in this confrontation. It was low key. I mean, nobody was shouting or anything. Again, I have to wonder if Dr. Phil is thanking his lucky stars that he's back in the spotlight again. You know, that there's now some renewed attention on his program. I don't know him. I don't know anything about him. I mean, so nothing against him, but I haven't heard about him in forever. And suddenly he popped up on the radar screen because Matt Walsh, you know, commentator, author, etc., he was on the program to discuss the issue of gender ideology. So I believe we've got a little extra audio now. This is a couple of minutes long. And just to set up the theater of the mind for you here. So you got Dr. Phil. On one side, you've got Matt Walsh. On the other side, you have two trans activists. I presume they're activists. That's how they seem to be billed. One is a biological woman who has grown a beard and presents herself as a man. The other one is a man, and you could tell he's a man because he has a rather full beard. Not every guy can pull it off, but he's pulling it off. So he's got a full beard. I mean, you look at his face and you can tell that this is a man, but he's got long, luxurious hair and makeup and lipstick and long fingernails. So it is, at first glance, you look and you have to look again. And you say, okay, what's happening here? So it's those two people who are, in essence, there to defend. And you know what's interesting, Cyrus? I just thought of something. So it's a two against one deal. Matt Walsh, who's a man, and he's defending reality. But you notice, this just entered my mind, Cyrus. They embraced the binary on the other side, because it wasn't enough, apparently, to have one person, the man who's presenting himself as a woman or the woman who's presenting herself as a man. They had one of each. Do you see? Do you get it? Do you see what happened there?
Uh-huh.
See? So, oddly enough, in their effort to argue against the reality of the binary of male and female, they actually, maybe probably without realizing it, they, whoever they are, maybe, you know, the casting committee on the Dr. Phil show or whoever does such things, they saw fit to have both sides of the coin, so to speak, a biological man and a biological woman, one who is presenting as a woman, the other presenting as a man. And so oddly enough, there's the binary featured front and center on that side of the discussion. And then you've got Matt Walsh all by his lonesome on the other side. And presumably, yeah.
That's not fair. They should have had, because one of the questions they keep asking is, you know, define a woman. They should have had a woman. If Matt,
they did.
Matt. No. All right.
<Go. laughs> I know where you're going with it, but thing. No. It's a good point. But isn't it interesting that they realized at some deep level that the binary, male and female, or the version thereof, was more potent, perhaps, than just one person of one sex representing his position. I don't know. It was a subliminal touch, and it just occurred to me. So here we have it. You're going to listen to roughly 2 minutes of what was a much longer conversation. And the guy with the deeper voice is Matt Walsh. And you have to see the video to distinguish between the other two people, but you can see it. Cyrus will post it for you. So here it is.
So you can feel however you want. I mean, I could sit here and say that I feel like a tomato plant, but that doesn't mean that I actually am those things. So your self-perception, you can have whatever self-perception you want, but you can't expect me to take part in that self-perception or to take part in this kind of charade, this theatrical production. You don't get your own pronouns, just like you don't get your own prepositions or your own adjectives. You know, it's like if I were to tell you, my adjectives are handsome and brilliant, and no matter whenever you're talking about me, you have to describe me as handsome and brilliant because that's how I identify. It makes no sense. You don't get your own pronouns. That's grammar. That's language.
So you think it's a delusion? Someone is self-delusional.
Yeah, I think it's delusion. It could be a mental illness. It could be it's a lot of different things. With children, wow. You know, there's also just a basic confusion that all kids have. Like that's why when you hear someone, a parent say, "Oh, my 4-year-old son came to me and said that I'm a girl now, and so that's what I'm gonna raise him as a girl." No, you're a 4-year-old. I have 4 kids. When a 4-year-old boy comes to you and says, "Oh, I'm a girl," here's a good follow-up question. What is a girl? Ask him what he means by that. What do you mean by a girl? And when you ask him that, here's what he'll tell you. He will tell you what he really means is that he wants to do some of the things that girls do, like play with the dollhouse, or you know, he likes the color pink. That's fine. Play with the dollhouse. But you're still a boy.
Mm-hmm. That particular clip didn't feature any of the responses from the two transgender people who were there. But it's a clip of a much longer interview, well worth watching, and very instructive, too. And you'll see, and Sarah, this is what I meant by referencing the Chappelle Show. This freak out, as Amanda Prestigiacomo puts it in her article, it seems to me that just like there was that freak out, that meltdown about what Dave Chappelle had to say, which was not even really critical. It was just like, hey, guys, can you just, you know, well, we talked about that, so I don't have to get back into it. But the point is, there's absolutely no room in their minds for anybody to disagree even a teensy little bit with their worldview. And if you do, then you're the devil himself. You're the devil incarnate. And of course, right now, Dr. Phil is the devil incarnate. Let me read to you a selection. And I'm going to, you know, adjust the language because some of it's not good. Leftists are incensed this week at Dr. Phil for daring to have a conservative Daily Wire host and author Matt Walsh on his show to offer a differing opinion on pervasive radical left-wing gender theory. The general outrage was aimed at Walsh, who was smeared as a bigot for stating biological realities and defending women-only spaces, but also at Dr. Phil for quote-unquote platforming Walsh, who holds an opinion shared by most Americans. So here's a selection, and these are just individual apparently tweets, I guess. Truly blank Dr. Phil for this. One tweet said, "Why would you invite a non-binary person onto national television just to be humiliated by an outspoken transphobe? Who is this for? Who does this help? Blankety blank." Another person says, "Dr. Phil is always stirring the pot. This is so disrespectful. Why does this man still have a show? Instead of letting the actual queer voices speak, he's doing mental arithmetic to get through his sentence. I am fuming." Dear Dr. Phil, another Twitter user said, "Please don't ever live tweet during RuPaul's Drag Race and act like an ally again. If you're going to have people like Matt Walsh on your show spreading transphobia to the masses, sincerely, the LGBTQ community." Another person said, "Dr. Phil, you're a scumbag for even giving this guy a platform to spread his bigotry. Your show needs to end if you are all so desperate for ratings that you'll stir the pot for drama while knowing it's wrong." By the way, Cyrus, one interesting thing about Twitter is when somebody says something like, you know, "you're stirring the pot," the next person or the person after that will do another version and include "stirring the pot." And then it gets picked up and a ton of people will start saying it. And you'll see that in some of these threads. Another person says, "Of course Dr. Phil would invite Matt Walsh onto his show. They are both white males who think they know entirely more than they really do." Another person says, shame on Dr. Phil for giving a platform to bigots like Matt Walsh with little to no pushback. Trans people have dealt with enough blank. Another person says, Dr. Phil uses his platform time and again to allow the worst kinds of people, Matt Walsh, onto his show to speak over people with actual lived experience on the topic he's presenting. And it just goes on. I mean, it's just, it's all one after the other like that.
So anytime you have a discussion, you're just giving a platform. And if one side wins, I guess the platform is theirs.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's actually what I was alluding to a moment ago. And that is that if these guys have better arguments, you know, science-based arguments, etc., bring them forth. If Matt Walsh's ideas are ridiculous, and by the way, he doesn't have a lock on those ideas. He's speaking for, I would say, the majority of people who live in reality. And you know, I'm glad he did. So more power to him. I'm glad he did that. And I'm pleased with his willingness to do that. So I hope he continues. But the point is, this message is either going to be defeated in the arena of public discussion and debate, or it won't be. Let the better arguments prevail. And what happens every time now, look at the Chappelle thing, this thing, and others that have come before, is that if somebody dares to disagree, they're immediately branded as a bigot and a transphobe, whatever that's supposed to mean, and other epithets. So, you know, it gets into the name-calling session. That's what children do on the playground. They name-call. And usually, almost always, when it gets to the name-calling, which it almost always does at the very beginning with these people, it's the sign that they don't have any arguments. It's the sign that rather than bring forth their well-reasoned, articulate, persuasive arguments based on facts, evidence, etc., and then defeat the other person's argument, they just simply name call and try to shut the other person up because they don't have any arguments. That's the whole point of this. And I think they realize that they don't have any arguments. They don't know how to fight their way out of a wet paper bag on this issue. So all they really can do is spew all of the epithets and name calling at people and try to get them shut down so that nobody is allowed to hear that particular perspective. That's what this amounts to. May I say to you?
Yeah, he seems like he got in the most trouble for asking a question, you know, how would you define a woman? How would you define a woman?
Right.
That's it.
Or a girl in the case of the little boy. You're right. So he was talking about he says he has four children, and if his son came up to him at 4 years of age and said, Daddy, I want to be a girl, he would ask the little boy, okay, what is a girl?
Right. Yeah, and he asked the two people that are on the stage with him. Mm-hmm. He's like, how would you define? And they're both like, well, I can't define woman because I'm not one.
And actually, they both sort of said the same thing. One of them is a woman who presents, I suppose, as non-binary. But it's not non-binary to have a beard and all the male affectations. And the other person is a man who's presenting himself as a woman. So in other words, it seems to be dealing in stereotypes. The stereotypical female, I guess, is what he seems to have been presenting because, you know, the Breck shampoo commercials. You know the Breck commercials where the women are swinging this luxurious, beautiful hair, kind of in slow motion. And I'm sure that all the ladies, you know, think, oh, that's such beautiful. And I mean, you can't help but notice how beautiful their hair is. He's got that kind of hair. I don't know if he uses Breck. Is Breck still around? I don't even know if it's on the show.
Anyway.
So he's sort of. It strikes me as though he's simply pursuing this stereotype of a woman because he's got the mascara and the lipstick and the eyeshadow and the beautiful hair and the long manicured fingernails and he's wearing pumps. So, I mean, what are they aiming to show other than what they perceive females to be, what they perceive women to be. Actual women, I'm talking about. Not that necessarily every man looks like that or every woman looks like that, but these are attributes that people generally associate with male and female. So in the second article, I know we got to take a break, but just a little bit of this here. Activists who discuss gender pronouns and the definition of womanhood with the Daily Wire host Matt Walsh on an episode of Dr. Phil have taken to Instagram just before the episode aired. Non-binary activist Addison, I believe this is one of the people who was on the program, posted a lengthy Instagram story accusing Dr. Phil's team of tricking Addison and fellow non-binary activist Ethan to do the show under false pretenses. The post also claims Walsh's pushback, which included asking Addison and Ethan to define the word woman, gave them nightmares. That's their word. And that it triggered anxiety. The Instagram story from...
Yeah. Sorry.
I mean, I'm a compassionate guy. I don't want to see anybody in pain or misery, but this is just psychodrama. That's all this is. About a month ago, Addison says, Ethan and I were invited to be guests on the Dr. Phil show to share our stories and discuss pronouns. Let's see.
Have you seen that video of the guy? He walks into a wall, and the first one says, like, 1970s.
You saw it on my Twitter feed.
Okay,
no,
good.
No, you sent it to me, and okay. I posted it on my
good.
Twitter feed.
That's so right. That is so – that's exactly what happened with this is they're the ones that were born in, 2000s. They hit the wall, and instead of just walking on with their lives, they fell on the ground, and they wither in agony and pain, and then they stop and take a selfie.
Yeah, to make sure you see how much agony
that's exactly
in.
Right. So this it's yeah. just perfect. This is exactly what that little video.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to retweet that now that you're mentioning it. I know we have to take a break, but I would like people to see what you're talking about, because even though that itself has nothing to do with this, I mean, there's no connection in any way with this, still, it's worth people seeing because it's, I guess you might say, the perfect, as you say, it's the perfect illustration. I just retweeted it. Of what's going on.
It's
here.
So funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even my kids were like, yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Now, people from born in 1960 probably would have just, I mean, no, the people of the greatest generation who fought in World War II, they would have just bulldozed the wall and kept
right.
going.
Yep.
So here's what Addison says. And as I understand it, Addison is the man with the beard and the long hair and the manicured fingernails, etc. So on Instagram saying, we were excited for the opportunity to educate in a safe space. What ended up happening was much different than they discussed with us, and we left feeling attacked by another guest and played by the producers. Since the taping, Ethan and I have been experiencing a heightened level of anxiety to the point that we've had numerous nightmares and depression spirals over the last month. Cyrus, how many depression spirals have you had over the last month? I'm just curious.
Oh, from the things you say to me? So many. So.
So Addison says, please send us both good vibes today. We could really use it. We tried our best with no preparation for what the Dr. Phil show actually had planned behind our backs, and we hope our visibility inspires viewers. Walsh's response on Twitter was, the other guests on the Dr. Phil panel are complaining that I gave them nightmares. I attacked them by asking them to define the words they are using. Contrary to my fellow panelists, I felt great after the taping, he said, and feel even better now. That's because I'm 100% confident in my view on the topic, and everything they said was blatant nonsense, which did not even for a second cause me to second guess my own perspective. So, yeah. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. 888-914-9149 is my number. I'd love to talk to you. Agree, disagree, not sure? Give me a call. 888-914-9149.
But I would walk 500 miles, and I would walk 500
life solutions you can believe in. The Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
I see what you're doing, Cyrus, and I like it. The Walk for Life, of course, taking place today in Washington, D.C. Shout out to all of you pro-life folk who are out there witnessing to the sanctity of human life. Let's go to Christian in South Pasadena, California. Good morning, Christian.
Hey, Patrick. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hey, listen, how about this? I self-identify as a hyper-athletic 27-year-old Jamaican male. I demand to be on the Olympic team. I demand to be on the team. Why can't I? Well, because I am a 55-year-old Caucasian with slow twitch muscles. I'll never make the team. These people are insane, Patrick.
And you're not allowed to identify as a different race. That's against
the
rules.
No, that's forbidden. That's forbidden.
Oh, that's forbidden. It's coming. Right. I promise you that. It's coming.
The rules are somewhat complicated. The rules are somewhat not easy to follow, but you'll get the hang of it, Christian.
Yeah. Well, you see, they make the rules, right? They're in charge, ostensibly, yeah. Listen, I just wanted to tell you a quick story before I hop into work here. About 3 years ago, I was driving into work in the morning, and there was a bumper sticker on a car in front of me that said Immaculate Heart Radio, 9:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. I tuned in. I love talk radio. You know, I'm driving into work. I tuned in, and that's when I came across you. Patrick, you and Relevant Radio have literally changed my life. I want to tell you now. I'm a lifelong Protestant, and now at the tender age of 55, because of you and this show, I am an RCIA, and I am converting to the Catholic faith, and I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, Patrick. I started reading books that you suggested. I have read Dave Armstrong, Jimmy Akin. I read yours, Prized by Truth. Scott Hahn, I've read numerous books by him. And this has been nearly a 3-year inquiry and study on my part. I've read so many books about the history of the church and early Christianity. And Patrick, I have come to the inevitable, ultimate, historical, valid conclusion that the Catholic Church is the one true church of Jesus Christ. And I can't wait for Easter when I have my first my first valid baptism, my first Holy Communion.
Wonderful.
I can't wait. Yeah, I can't wait.
I'm so happy for you.
Because of you. Yeah, and I'm looking to start giving to Relevant Radio, and you guys just keep up the good work because you're changing lives, and in many cases, you may not even know it, Patrick.
Well, I don't know where to begin in thanking you, but thank you, first of all. All glory to God. I mean, anything good that comes through Relevant Radio comes from God, and I know you know that, but it's really kind of you, it's thoughtful of you to take time out of your busy day and call us to let us know. I mean, it's very uplifting, very encouraging.
Yeah. If I could say one more thing, for those of you who are thinking about it, they're on the cusp, they want to cross the Tiber, but they're not sure, go to Catholic Answers. I started printing up articles anytime I had an issue, the Immaculate Conception, the Assumption of Mary, what's the real presence, the infallibility of the Pope. I just started printing up all these articles. I put them in a binder. My God, the education I got from Catholic Answers, it's really, really impactful. So I would encourage anyone like me who's interested and wanting to study and have questions, go to Catholic Answers. You will find every answer to every question you have. I guarantee it.
Yeah, I second that motion. I'm a big fan of all the great work that's done at Catholic Answers. I used to work at Catholic Answers. I was there for 8 great years back in the early days, long before all the really important stuff started to happen. You know, the many ventures that they're involved in now, it was not that way in the first 8 years when I started. I think it was January of 88 when I started working there. But we were the guys, Christian, with the wheelbarrows of cement pouring the foundation back in those early days. And it has really taken off in so many wonderful ways. So, yeah, I second the motion. I would encourage anybody who's searching for answers, go to Catholic.com. That is their website. What's really nice about that, by the way, Christian, as you yourself discovered, is that the search bar is very powerful. So all you have to do is put in your keywords. So if you wanted to know about whatever, type in the keyword, and you'll pull up all the articles and tracts and other resources that they have. And I can see why it was so formative for you. That's great.
Yeah. All right, Patrick, I'm off to work.
Well, thank
God bless you, man.
Thank you. Stay warm and well-fed, Christian. And again, thank you for your kindness in calling to tell us that great news. That's awesome.
Hey, Patrick. Yeah. I have great news here. Matt Beardsley is just contacted us from the he's on the grounds at the March for Life. Yeah, so okay. Say hello to Matt Beardsley.
Matt Beardsley, welcome to the program.
Mr. Patrick Madrid, how are you? Sorry we're a little late. We, it was getting a little bit more hectic, a lot more traffic this time to get down here, even though half the city is shut down. So we finally made it before the top of the hour, and people are starting to show up already. It's very, very cold. I don't even remember what the temperature is this morning. It's very cold, but we've got people out here ready to celebrate life.
That's great. Is President Biden out there marching?
Yeah, well, take a wild guess.
Have you seen him yet? He's Catholic.
I don't think we're going to see him anywhere around the city today.
Oh. So what are you
saying? Yeah, I was disappointed
there?
Too. You know, we're seeing people getting all set up. The rally kicks off at about 11:30 or so. I think Father Mike Schmitz is going to be talking. Kirk Cameron from Growing Pains fame, a very popular Christian speaker. He's going to be the keynote speaker for the rally this morning. And we still don't have any numbers on who they're expecting. You know, some news outlets always say that hundreds of people show up for the March for Life, but we know that since 2017,
they're leaving off a few zeros, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. Since 2017, we've had 200 to 400,000 people. 2020, the last full March for Life, you know, President Trump showed up. First time in history that ever happened. And there was over 500,000 people here. So we'll see how it goes with the lockdown, the weather, and everything. But, you know, with everything happening with Supreme Court, Morales hit the nail on the head this morning. He said this could be the last march of its type ever, because we could be looking at a very different celebration come summertime.
Yeah, we're keeping our fingers crossed for that, for sure, Matt. You know that the heinous decision in 1973 of Roe versus Wade may, in our lifetime, maybe even this year, could be finally overturned by the Supreme Court, we pray. So, yes, wouldn't it be wonderful to be at the very last March for Life, because we won't need it anymore if the Supreme Court decision is overturned.
Let's pray that's happening now.
Yeah, that's what I mean. In other words, you may be, you know, historically walking in the very last March for Life. Wouldn't that be a nice thing?
Absolutely.
What's the security like, or is there much by way of security?
It's completely different than it was a couple of years ago. We were able to walk right into the grounds. We had to wait an hour and a half last time and have everything checked with the U.S. Marshals and Secret Service, because we were bringing all this equipment in. But now it's just, you know, it's basically mounted police. D.C. Metro cops are going around the perimeter of the mall, and they have some private security. And the Knights of Columbus actually provide crowd control for the event. Mm. So it's you know, it's safe. It's a safe environment here, but it's a lot more freedom, a lot more mobility when the president's not down here.
What about the opposition? Are there any screamers out there trying to, you know, have their voices heard? I imagine there must be at some point along the way today.
I was waiting for you to ask me that question, because you ask every year, and guess what? I haven't seen any of them, which is awesome.
Yeah, well, I mean, I suspect that some of them will show at some point. But
yeah,
you know,
by now
no
I would have seen a lot of them, though, yesterday and today.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they sense their defeat coming. Maybe they realize that they're on the wrong side of history. I mean, they're the moral equivalent, the people who are screaming in favor of abortion, quote-unquote, rights. They're the moral equivalent of people who were defending slavery in the 19th century. And some of them are beginning to realize that this is a lost cause for them. And eventually, maybe it won't be this year, I hope it will be, but eventually it's going to go down in flames, as it rightly should.
Absolutely. Couldn't say it better.
Well, Matt, thank you for stepping in and giving us a little color commentary. I know you'll be there throughout the day, so stay warm and well-fed. And if you can give us a call later in the show today, we'd love to hear more. If you see anything new, if President Biden shows up to show his support for the unborn, please let us know. We'd love to report on that.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you, Matt Beardsley. We appreciate it very much. 888-914-9149. Cyrus, does a man have to know his limitations at this point or not?
Oh, you got about 90 seconds, sir.
Yeah, I don't think we can do it. I don't think we can.
Yeah, it wouldn't be fair.
No, because precious and few are the moments we two can share, so we don't want to push our luck and go into the danger zone, as Kenny Loggins would say. I'm trying to get as many songs as I can in here. Go ahead, Cyrus. Don't hesitate.
There's an email. I was just checking this out. An email just came in from Father Rocky. And so with all of the people that are fasting, he says that comes out to about 6,500,000 calories saved across America today. Or the equivalent of one person riding a bike 13,000 miles from here to India.
Oh, man.
Thanks, Father.
Think of the weight loss, the collective weight loss. That's really great. So, yeah, I just saw the email as well. So 6,500,000 calories saved across America today, or the equivalent of one person running 13,000 miles.
That's great.
That'd be a long bike ride. Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, if you want to participate in our hashtag Fast for Life, you still can. You get your bonus ebook download called The Choice is Love. And tell us how you're planning to show your solidarity with the unborn babies and the people who are walking and everyone else who's on the right side of history on this issue. Just go to relevantradio.com/fast and tell us what you're going to do. I'll be right back with more right after this.